Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
No place to go.
Hope you heard that forecast.
Baby.
It's going to be a beautiful few days. It's a good time to call in super sick. Not just sick for one day, sick for the rest of the week. Yeah, unless you're in a vital position, a position that's so needed, you can't possibly miss work. Talk show host, for instance.
Yes.
Where's that cough coming from?
I don't know, but that's me on line two calling in, if you want to pick that up.
Hello, Steve. Hello.
I'm not going to make it in.
Yeah, you don't sound good.
Steve, you've already been here a couple hours.
I'm losing my voice.
Yeah, so what a trooper to come in before he faked his illness.
Yeah.
So I can be totally upfront. I'm on vacation after tomorrow. It's got nothing to do with the weather. It was pre-scheduled.
Yeah, where are you going?
Well, where are you
going?
I'm going
to the mountains.
Any particular ones?
Whichever ones look the biggest.
To be alone with your thoughts?
Well, yeah, as a matter of fact.
Which particular mountains are you heading
to? The ones out west.
Oh.
He's John Denvering it.
Yes.
Little Rocky Mountains.
Mm-hmm.
On the show today, Owen Mahan. This kid is just a hero. There's no other way to describe it. Kid's been through stuff that no human being should ever have to face. And he has been inspirational and optimistic about everything. And his mom's an amazing woman as well. They're both going to be on this morning, part of the MVPP after 7. But looking forward to talking to them. Rick Pearson on the political landscape of America. I hear it a little like.
Who is that?
I don't know. I don't even know what I was doing there.
It's
a long night. And there's news in the candy world that we need to get to after 9 o'clock. It seems that the legendary Butterfinger is under threat. You guys Butterfinger fans?
Yeah, I love
I am a huge fan. I'm very upset about this. Yeah. I haven't tasted the new one.
Do we have new ones to taste? Maybe we should go get some.
Oh, you guys are giving away the story. Do you have any show business in you? No. Come on. There's a new recipe. How'd the new Coke thing work out? Was there something wrong with Butterfinger where you had to change it? I don't know.
Just because it gets stuck in your teeth.
Yeah, that's part of the fun.
That's okay.
We'll play more rounds of Lollapalooza Band, or a band I was in, and give away more prizes. But now it's time for the top six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top 6 at 6, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
You may have heard Roe talking about this yesterday. The body of notorious 1930s gangster John Dillinger is expected to be exhumed in September in an Indianapolis cemetery, but his body's encased in concrete. They did this specifically because of who he was and his infamy, so that people couldn't go and grave dig. Digging up the remains more than 85 years after Dillinger was killed by FBI agents could also resolve conspiracy theories that the man some considered a hero during the Great Depression isn't buried in the Mark grave. Among the tales is Dillinger's family tricked the FBI into shooting the wrong man. Conspiracy theories? Those are hard to find. Roe spent most of the afternoon talking about Dillinger's ding-a-ling.
Excuse me?
His legendary ding-a-ling. That would be the reason they were digging him up.
Oh.
I don't think so.
It's for a TV show, isn't it? Or some.
That's the deal. Apparently, there is some sort
thing.
Geraldo Rivera's vault kind of show.
Oh,
that.
Does the ding-a-ling survive after death? I don't know.
I hear it's the last to go.
Well, it's stuck in concrete, so it's a little difficult.
Sounds painful. Next, University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. You familiar with that, Mary?
Of course.
Stepped up scrutiny of some applications after discovering, and you may have heard Steve talking about this last hour, that some Chicago area parents are relinquishing custody of their 16 and 17-year-olds in their juniors and senior years of high school, qualifying them for more financial aid than otherwise would have been received. This story blew up nationally in the last 24 hours.
Yeah, and it's going to be more than just the University of Illinois. It's going to be a number of different schools.
So these, I thought the most interesting thing about the person you talked to last hour was this, it should be common sense, but a judge has to declare that your guardianship of a child is going to someone else. And as that person indicated to you, Steve, that usually happens in cases of hardship, right?
It does, although there is no, according to her reporting, there's no real clear-cut reasons for denying such an application to a judge. So it wouldn't be weird for a judge to deny that petition because there's, you know, if it's the Illinois Probate Act that governs a lot of this, it just there's no specification there the circumstances of when you can do this. So you know, they wouldn't have necessarily known at the time that this was happening, that this is the reason why.
But if there's a spate of these, as there seems to have been a couple of dozen at least in the case that you were talking about with that particular reporter, wouldn't the judge or the court system become a little, you know, a little curious about what was going on?
Yes, and they did, according to her.
Okay.
Yeah.
And people want to read more on that. Where do they go?
To ProPublica.org.
Okay. Anyway, more on that as the morning progresses. Next, former executive director of the Children's Heart Foundation, a non-for-profit organization based in the northern suburbs, has been charged in a federal court in a scheme to defraud the charity out of hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's a very important charity. It's a charity I'd worked with many years ago. And you as well?
I emcee their golf outing every year.
Yeah. And I hope people don't take this out on the charity. This is a bad guy who is stealing money from the charity by way of accusation, allegedly. And according to charging documents, William Foley stole upward of $700,000. Again, this is for a charity for kids who have congenital or pediatric heart conditions. And this guy stole money.
And they do unbelievable work. And
yeah, they really do.
Good work.
Is it me or does it feel like there's just all kinds of scams happening these days?
Yeah.
Just right and left.
Well, it's the eternal question, right? Do we know more about it because we know more? Or has it always been happening? Or, you know, is it worse now? I don't know. Next, local officials cannot prevent people from possessing pot come January 1st. They may determine whether residents can legally buy it in their hometown. The battle over where pot will be grown and sold is shifting to local governments. County and municipal officials must decide whether to ban or allow cannabis businesses, and some are already acting to do so. What's the tax collection piece of this? Do we know?
Well, I think they're still, you know, sorting it out. So, like, let's say you live in Arlington Heights and you want to go to Palatine to buy marijuana. You'll pay that tax to wherever the taxing body is that you visit. So Arlington Heights won't get a share of that, but Palatine will.
So if you live in an area that denies this, you're denying revenue, at least on paper.
Yes.
Okay. Next, nearly 2 dozen former campaign workers for unsuccessful mayoral candidate Amara Enya filed complaints with the Illinois Department of Labor, alleging wage and overtime theft. The worker said in a news release, the campaign committee, Friends of Amara Enya, owes $56,825 in unpaid wages and expenses. We have not heard much from Amara Enya since the election. She had some controversial moments during the election. It also seemed like, in my opinion, the Tribune and the Sun-Times are picking on her a little harder than they were other candidates. But there's no denying she's got some stuff to clear up here. So I'll bring this up to Rick Pearson when he's on later, talking about other things as well. Speaking of the candidates for office, the Democratic debate, night number one was last night in Detroit. Night number two is tonight. Anybody in particular make news, Steve?
No, I watched a good portion of the debate this time, and it seemed like for one thing, I thought CNN did a pretty good job of keeping the candidates from talking over each other. That was a big deal in the first debate. I have to say, I was impressed by a couple of the different candidates who sort of tried to get their moments, including Marianne?
Marianne Williamson.
Yeah, there's a couple of times where you could see the fire in her belly where she started talking about, this is what we need to do. This is the front we need to push. And I was like, yeah, that's exactly it.
Yeah, it's funny. Marianne Williamson, Pete Buttigieg, and his name is escaping me, the governor of Montana, all seemed to be the most sensible of the bunch last night.
Yeah, I mean, and I did think that we saw, Elizabeth Warren also, you know, she's got a plan for everything. And if you give her more time to talk about it, I was impressed by the different things that she had to say as well.
Montana Governor, by the way, Steve Bullock.
Steve Bullock, yeah.
And finally this, White Sox lose Yoán Moncada to a hamstring injury in the first. I thought the team was just getting it back together, Dave. What's going on?
They get Eloy Jimenez back on Sunday. They got Tim Anderson back last night. And then after one inning, Moncada leaves the game. Apparently, it tightened up on him during the day, is what Rick Renteria has said. They don't think it's a big deal right now. They'll check him out today and they'll see, but he is listed as day-to-day.
If you listened to this radio station all day yesterday, you had a very unique occurrence in the middle of the day. This radio station was off the air for an hour, and there was backup programming. My daughter called me and said, why are you on the air now? Why am I talking to you now? There was a filler tape that was played, which featured us from 2014, I believe.
Yeah, good. Kevin Powell was on.
Dave did a good sportscast, too, I thought.
Yeah. I was like, wait a minute. Baez just joined the team?
Right, exactly. So we will talk about that in just a second, because to my mind, other than the flood and being knocked off the air for an hour on this show, that's as long as this station's been off the air in 95 years.
Yeah, when the emergency tape kicks in, you know there's a problem.
No question.
You know there's a problem.
So we'll talk about that in a second.
That's it!
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
You don't need that, Private. We're right here. Now, what is it? Now, what is it?
I'm having trouble with the radar, sir.
What's wrong with it?
I've lost the bleeps, I've lost the sweeps, and I've lost the creeps.
The what?
The what?
And the what?
We are experiencing technical difficulties. Please stand by.
So, yesterday, the mighty 720 went down for a while. And, I mean, 24 hours later, what is it, 18 hours later, the best minds are still trying to figure out exactly what happened. You know, renegade rat in the building? I don't know. But we'll try to explain it to you to the best of my ability, which is pretty thin. And also invite you to call because we're going to play a round or two of Lollapalooza Band or a band I was in here in a couple of minutes at 312-981-7200 for prizes. So yesterday, Super Joe, fill in the gaps for me. Was it 11:30-ish, something like that?
Yeah, that sounds right, 11:30.
Well, it was during Jen DeSalvo's newscast. It was about 11:36 because I was just about to do a traffic report.
And there was approximately 10 minutes of dead air. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. I'd say about that.
And I'll be honest with you, 10 seconds of dead air feels like dental surgery on the radio when you do this every day. And Bennett, come on in, because Bennett was here yesterday in the middle of this. Though Bennett gets up very early, so you know who knows what he really comprehended.
Poor Bennett. This happened during the noon.
Yeah, there was a lot of delusion.
Yeah. So we're off the air at that point, and there's this filler tape of a Steve Cochran show from 2014 that they put on from the transmitter site, which is, where is it, Elk Grove Village?
Out in the suburbs, probably about 45 minutes away at least.
I've never been out there, have you?
No, it's a hike to get out there.
And there's a studio there.
There is. There's a backup studio, which the plan in the middle of it was to potentially have Ro Khan and that show out in the suburbs broadcasting from a tiny little studio underneath a radio transmitter.
Now that would have been entertaining.
That would have been something
that
else.
That would have been good.
Our backup plan at the moment.
But then it got more confusing during the course of the hour because eventually Bill and Wendy popped on, didn't know they were on.
Correct.
And they thought they were on the stream where, you know, language is a little freer, so I was waiting for them to blow that up. And Steve Bertrand was in another room doing the noon business hour with you, and you guys didn't know if you were on air or not.
Right. We were trying to coordinate which studio was on air, which studio was on the stream, and we broadcasted out of almost, we thought we were broadcasting out of almost every single studio and booth in the station because we thought that that had a connection to the transmitter.
And we got a lot of those. We got a lot of them studios.
Probably have about four or five.
Right. And we've got a backup one set up today because, to the best of our ability, what we determined was a massive computer failure.
Yeah.
When we moved over here, this equipment, 90% of the equipment in the building is new, but all these things, these computer servers, they're called blades?
Correct.
are all new. And by the way, not cheap. You know, we didn't pick them up at Best Buy.
Mm-mm.
So they're a little more than a year old. And apparently when one failed, it sort of dominoed the others. Is that what happened?
That's my understanding of it. That was probably the worst thing that could have happened to that piece of equipment. And it happened to all of them.
But wait, there's more. The chief engineer is a guy named Bill Murdoch. If you flash backwards to when we had the flood at the Tribune Tower, when water was coming down the steps from I don't know what floor, the transmitter connective tissue is these blades and things that were on the seventh floor. Seventh floor, by the way, that no longer exists if you look out the window here as they tear the Tribune Tower down. And Bill Murdoch is a bit of a cowboy. He was standing in about 2 inches of water from this flood where pipes gave out in one of the bathrooms and playing with electrical wire. We don't advise that.
And Master Control was underwater.
Yes.
Yes.
So Murdoch, it was the guy they called yesterday. We've got 7, 8, 9 engineers here. And they're all smart and they're all good. But Murdoch was like the guy who's trying to, you know, the pilot had the chicken or the fish and he died.
Right.
And then somebody's pulled from the back to fly the plane.
Exactly.
So Murdoch was trying to talk through what the potential fix was while he was talking to the people that sold us this this particular equipment.
And Murdoch is traveling around Lake Erie right now.
Yeah, he's on
That's
vacation.
That's his vacation.
Yeah, I thought he was at Niagara Falls.
He's touring Lake
Either
Erie.
Either way, he is very, very, very far from
Yeah,
here
his
right
family
now.
Has decided to go around every lake and now it's Erie's shot.
Wow.
Yeah.
So maybe he was pleased that he got out of that deal. I don't know. But he was calling back and talking everybody through this. Todd Manley, the voice of reason, who runs this joint, was running around and trying to keep everybody calm. But it had to be, I was not here, it had to be complete chaos in the hallways.
It was utter chaos. Everybody from marketing to sales to programming, they were just running around. But it was one of those situations where you wanted to help out and wanted to help fix the problem, but it's a technical problem, so you literally could not do anything. So people are just standing around waiting for some sort of direction. And, you know, we slowly started to put a plan together. And
well, there's no protocol for this. There is no template. There's no, hey, if the new equipment fails, right. What do we do then?
I think there will be now.
Right?
Yeah.
So we believe, short of duct tape and super glue, we're going to be fine now until they fix whatever the problem was.
Yeah, that's the hope.
But at some point this morning, if we go off the air, we are set up in a backup studio where we will rush to a studio with two microphones and then have Dave and Steve and Mary tag in and tag out as they, maybe we'll do this anyway just for fun.
It's going to be cozy.
As they do their stuff.
Should I know where that's at? Where is that at? Where?
It's a production studio.
It's more interesting. We're running
to. Okay. First production studio.
If what happens yesterday happens again today, I'm headed west for the mountains, my man.
No, come with me, Joe.
Super Joe, what were you doing when all this was happening?
Sleeping, buddy.
Oh, you were gone then?
Yeah.
You couldn't have missed it by much.
Yeah. Well, no. I'm not sure if it was affected, but I was texting Mary about the meeting, the Tuesday talk meeting that we were supposed to have.
Yeah, the conference call that didn't happen?
Yeah.
By the way, what kind of place is Todd running? He still couldn't have a conference call in the middle of that? Come on.
We had, yeah. It was one of those things where, because I was at my desk, Bennett and I sit across from each other, and you hear the station through the speakers, and all of a sudden it went quiet. And that happens once in a while. You think, okay, somebody just, for some reason, killed the PA feed.
But what's weird is we hear silence more than we hear noise.
Right.
Because you could be sitting at a desk or a room or whatever. And if you're extended silence, you go, something's wrong, opposed to whatever the background noise would be. And in this case, it was Bill and Wendy.
But I think what Bennett said is right. At that point, you're just trying to kind of there are people who know what they're doing here to try to get us back on the air. So just try to stay out of their way.
Yeah.
At least that's what I did.
That's why it's good I wasn't here. I would have been a big help, wouldn't I?
It would have made.
Unplug that.
People were funny. I mean, it's just because I was here. They were like, we're off the air, right? Yeah. You know, because people, you can't hear the station in the bathroom. You can't hear it in many parts of the hallways either. So, you know, people didn't know.
Yeah, we need monitors everywhere.
Yeah. One of the first questions I got was, you couldn't even tell people that there was a technical difficulty. We couldn't even say to the people listening on the radio, hey, we're having troubles over here.
Yeah, because we were broadcasting.
Everything was done through social media and
We had Facebook blew up.
Oh, the texters were really texters having a field day, though. They thought Russia was involved. I tell you, there was a lot going on.
Well, they may have been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Verdict's still out.
Trump may have been involved. We don't know. But, Bennett, you and Bertrand had, I think, the weirdest position because you were doing a show to no one and didn't know that.
Yeah, we did. We started a show 4 different times. He introduced Amy Guth 4 different times in 4 different studios. And it worked.
And by the way, during this, my Facebook page got hacked. So I have to think there's some connection.
A mass conspiracy.
But thankful the listeners were so cute. They were very concerned about us. Mm-hmm. Are you guys okay? Are Bill and Wendy okay? Where are they? That was very nice.
Well, I think Bill and Wendy okay is a question that comes up quite a bit.
Right.
So we're back, and we plan on being back, and we'll figure it out. But it's kind of amazing that after 95 years, is this it, 95th anniversary?
Yes.
After 95 years, to everyone's best recollection, we could ask Orion about this, but twice we've been off the air for an extended period of time, and it's happened in the last 5 or 6 years when technology is at its peak.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they used to have horses running the transmitter, running on treadmills to keep the transmitter going, they never went off the air.
People pedaling bikes, you know.
I can't believe there was never a time back in the 30s or 40s where for some reason... Somehow we got knocked off the air.
Yeah, maybe it just wasn't documented.
Yeah, that's probably it. It is amazing to me that we're not off, that things don't happen more often, because if the public were to come in and see how all of this is set up and what it takes to do what we do every day, they would be like, I can't believe you do this every day, that this somehow works every time you turn it on.
Well, it's funny, too.
It is amazing, because it all runs through computers, and there are all kinds of different links between here and a transmitter. It's just amazing.
Well, it's funny, too. Somebody yesterday that was listening and said what happened, and I tried to explain it to him, what I know, which is very limited most days. And they said, well, you know, it's funny. I've never asked you this. How did your voice get from a microphone to the radio or the Alexa or my phone? And I said, I have no idea. I don't know.
Just magic.
I don't know. I've been doing this for a while, and I've never took that part of the course. We'll come back at your headlines in a second. Thank you, by the way. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your support, as always. And if we're hacked by Putin again today, we'll let you know. Some form or not. Actually, if we go down today, rush to 303 East Wacker to make sure we're okay. We have a little listener party downstairs. There's a lot we can do.
Yeah, we can do the show on the bullhorn.
Chuck and Oliver, hold on. We will get to you in a second on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
All right, Lollapalooza Band or a band I was in. We'll play, I promise. Coming up, Dave, you know the Jeffrey Epstein story, Steve, Mary. This is just horrific what Epstein and his rich pals did to a lot of young girls. So when we saw this, we wanted to invite Michael Jacobson in from the Illinois Hotel Lodging Association, president and CEO, to talk about how you recognize that a girl might be in trouble or that a kid might be in trouble. Because this human sex trafficking that goes on certainly happens here in Chicago and every major city in the country. And good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning.
Get rid of that microphone for me. What is the hotel inn role in this?
So I think people sometimes forget the sad reality that human trafficking does take place in our hotels. And it's something that we're not trying to hide. Instead, we're trying to take head on and really address it and try to prevent it and end it from happening in our hotels.
So have you had to take staff aside and teach them specifically what to look for?
We have. So throughout the year and throughout the last several years, we've really put a focus on training our employees on how to detect it, the warning signs when a guest is checking in or when a housekeeper is cleaning the room, what the warning signs are, and then also how to report it without putting their own lives in danger, because obviously those that are taking place in trafficking are not good people.
And not dangerous
sure
criminals.
Put our employee safety at risk.
So is this as simple as if you see something, say something, because you and the authorities will figure out whether it's real?
It's a little bit more complicated than that. I think that some of the signs, there's also sensitivities around it, that it's not as simple as just, you can't see a victim. A lot of times it just happens under our nose without us knowing. So it's a little bit more intricate on what the warning signs are. For example, when a male and female check in, is the female talking? Can you engage her? Is she holding her own purse, or is the man holding the purse for her? So there's some little subtle signs that our employees can detect. The most important thing is making sure that the employees are trained and that training takes place every year or so, so that they don't forget that, because the trainings that we have in place only take about 20 to 30 minutes, but obviously they can empower an employee to save a life.
Do these creeps travel in ways that seem to repeat themselves? I mean, we know pedophiles in particular look for a victim who appears to be weak, and their exploitation of the victim is pretty consistent. Is it similar in this case?
Yeah, I think one, especially when you look at the role that hotels play, I think a lot of times when we see large-scale events, you see a natural uptick in human trafficking. For example, the Super Bowl is one of the most trafficked events throughout the entire world. And we have a lot of major
events.
We just
don't think about it. We just don't think it happens.
You don't. You don't. And again, it happens without you even knowing. It might be happening right next to you. And we're lucky enough in Chicago to have some large-scale events. We have the NBA All-Star Game coming up in February. So in addition to our regular trainings that we have in place at our hotels, the chains also come in and do specific focus trainings with our staff in person to prepare for those large-scale events so that they're empowered around those major events.
You want to recognize any particular chain who's taking a lead on this or is doing a good job?
Yeah, I would say, they all have their own unique programs in place, but Marriott International, for the last 2.5 years, has really put an emphasis around this. It's a requirement for every one of their employees throughout their entire system. And earlier this year, they announced that they've surpassed 500,000 of their employees already trained. So I think they're one of the leaders in this. And I think that it's they've realized the important role that we do play.
What about the public? What do we do?
So that's the other thing. It's while our employees are the first line of defense, whether it's a front desk agent or a housekeeper, I think the guests and the general public also have a role to play. We're in the hotel lobbies, we're in the bars, we see different warning signs. So we're also creating signage and information for our guests on ways they can detect it, and then again how they can report it to the right, whether it's a law enforcement agency or someone within the hotel, so that they're not engaging a potential victim or a potential trafficker, but they report it the right way so that we could take it into our hands and investigate.
Well, give me an example. Like, what should we be looking for?
Again, I think some of the signs that I mentioned earlier of whether or not a woman that you feel like she's in control of her own life, or if she steps back or she's not engaged. Also, if she, as I mentioned earlier, she's not holding her own bag, or the male steps in and speaks with her. That's one thing that we train our employees of. If you suspect something, try to engage the female and see that if she's empowered to respond or not.
The difference between a dominating jerk in a male-female relationship and someone who's a criminal, it's pretty subtle, I would think.
It is, and that's where we have to be a little sensitive, because obviously we don't want to, if they're a legitimate customer and it's a case where a gentleman that's 20 years older is dating a younger woman, we don't want to engage and upset that guest, but also we have to take it seriously that in certain cases it could be a case of trafficking. So that's where we have to make sure that our employees understand those subtle differences and take the steps to not necessarily engage them right away, but make sure that they take the steps to report it to security, report it to law enforcement, so that the true professionals like Department of Homeland Security, Chicago Police, sure, could then step in and investigate.
You know, we live in a world where people are more aware than ever and probably less interested in getting involved. You know, it's not my business, mm-hmm, and I don't want to make a fuss. I tell people all the time, you can call any police department in America and make an anonymous tip. You can call somebody and say, listen, this is what I saw. This is what I heard. I don't know if there's anything going on, but I think you guys should look into it, without giving your name, without having to testify in court down the road, whatever the case may be. Hotel similar?
Absolutely. We, again, in a major city like Chicago, we have dedicated security teams on staff at the hotel. But even if you don't, the front desk staff can always call a manager. And then we're lucky enough to have really strong relationships with several nonprofits who dedicate their entire mission to this cause. Organizations like Polaris and ECPAT. And then we also have strong relationships with law enforcement that not only help in the training of our employees, but also step in and investigate that. They're really trained at how to detect it, how to prevent it. So while our employees are the front line and our guests are the front line, nobody should ever feel afraid to report it. And worst case scenario, it doesn't. It's not a case. Well, I guess that's the best case scenario.
Best
it's
case
not
scenario,
a case.
Yeah.
But I don't think anyone should ever feel afraid to report it, either to our hotel staff if they see it in one of our properties, or to law enforcement. That's their job.
And I can't speak to specifics, but I assume this has worked. I assume hotels have caught people in this. Yes?
It has. Yeah. And I mean, in a situation like this, where it is a sensitive topic, and again, in a lot of cases, unfortunately, we don't know about or we don't see. We don't have specific numbers of how prevalent it is, but we know it does happen. And I think in some people think that we would want to just sweep it under the rug, and that's absolutely not the case. But we do know anecdotal stories about it happening in our hotels, and that's why we've taken such a strong position and made such a strong commitment to make sure that we can prevent and detect it.
The awkwardness of being in a hotel room where you hear a lot of noise in the room next door, and you don't know if somebody's having sex, you don't know if somebody is in trouble. What do you recommend? Call downstairs and just say, I don't know what's going on, but here's what I'm hearing.
I've been in a situation like that where we heard a child screaming next door. It was on New Year's Eve several years ago. And it was one of those where, I mean, I have a one-year-old now, and obviously she screams in the middle of the night at some points. But this was just a scream that didn't sound natural. And we let it go on for a few minutes, and then it was just one of those really loud, just you could
sounds
tell
like
something
terror.
Was wrong.
Yeah.
And we called down to security, and a couple minutes later, we heard the knock on the door. We don't know how it panned out. Obviously, we didn't want to engage and escalate the situation, but that is where security steps in, and you have the true professionals really come in and investigate, and the crying stopped. And again, we don't know exactly what happened, but reporting it, I think, is the first step to preventing it.
So just to review, know that your hotel is trying to train their employees to the best of their ability to watch for this stuff, but we, the guests, can certainly listen up and play a part in this too.
Absolutely. The sad reality is that this is a $150 billion industry. It impacts 40 million men, women, and children. So this is
unbelievable.
It is. And it's not you mentioned Epstein earlier, and there are some cases of high profile cases, but many of them, as I've mentioned, just happen right under your nose. And we're trying to do everything we can just to raise awareness of this so that everyone could play a role in trying to end it.
If people, you send them to a website or anything for more information on this?
Yeah, from the hotel's perspective, the American Hotel and Lodging Association in Washington has really taken the lead in coordinating and sharing success stories and best practices. Their website is ahla.com.
Okay.
But then there's also several resources out there that, again, are dedicated to the issue of human trafficking. Polaris, ECPAT, as well as the Department of Homeland Security's Blue Campaign are some of the leading organizations and agencies that are leading the charge to coordinate not just the hotel industry, but all businesses and all different sectors to come for the common cause to end this modern-day slavery.
Appreciate you educating us on this.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming over. Yeah, it absolutely is.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Now, let me give you a sample of how we play. We'll get after this in the next hour, possibly even the 8 o'clock hour, maybe both. The game, Dave, is, as you know, Wallapalooza band or a band I was in.
Right.
Now, I may bring this particular choice back later. So if you're listening now, you're listening later, you may already have the answer. The band is Antithrombin 3. Antithrombin 3. Is that a Lollapalooza band or a band I was in?
That's a Lollapalooza band.
Actually, it's a band I was in.
Really?
And it sounded very sure.
And it's a condition that I have, an antithrombin 3 deficiency. You see what I did there?
You take a vitamin for that?
It's more of a Coumadin. But that's that. Remember that whole little blood clotting issue I had a couple of years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, this is what
that
is.
So isn't this the thing Roe and Anna are doing about the medical condition?
Oh, yeah.
And at Lollapalooza.
Yeah, except I made that one up.
Well, we see what you did there.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's an example of how we play 312-981-7200 when I tell you to call in to win. We got to get one more break in before the news, and then we'll come back in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom next.
The Steve Cochran Show.
I can tell you right now, I know who the most valuable person on the planet is coming up. Do you guys know? Most valuable person on the planet, Susan Mahan. Owen Mahan's mom. Remember Owen?
Sure.
Well, how can you forget right Owen?
Let's go there right now to say hi to Owen and to Susan. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you, buddy?
Good.
How old are you now?
12.
Is today the birthday?
Thursday.
Last Thursday was your birthday. You know, I didn't get you anything. You like pizza? How about some pizza? Mom, is pizza okay?
He loves pizza.
All right, so let's put him down for a pizza from Lou Malnati's, Lou Malnati and Malnati's.com. Owen Mahan became a legend thanks to some fine people in the Chicago entertainment community, but mostly thanks to his mom and his incredible courage. Susan, could you retell the story?
Yeah. When Owen was 2 years old, the story is he fell in a bathtub full of scalding water, and he was burnt 98% of his body. He was given a 0% chance of survival. Then when he defied those odds, the doctors told me he might not ever walk or talk. Well, he not only did he live, but he never stopped talking, and he's always smiling and happy.
Oh, and what's up with you, man? You have so many reasons to not be happy. Why do you? What keeps you going? How come you're so smiley?
Today's going to be a great day. That's what I say in the morning.
And you're right. You're absolutely right. What are you doing for fun this summer?
Surgery.
Surgery's not fun, Mom. What else are you doing for fun?
Going back to school.
There you go. There you go. There you go.
We had our big break over spring break because the summer's too hot for him to really be outside doing things. So where did we go for spring break, Owen?
We went to Florida.
Oh, nice. Where'd you go in Florida?
Where'd we go?
Lose it? Phone clipped out there.
Universal Studios.
Well, you went to Universal.
Yep.
Nice. Cool. What was the big attraction, Susan? Where'd you go at Universal?
He really liked the I can't even think of the name of the ride. He liked the Transformer 3D ride.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Sure.
Bikes to ride through New York City.
Yeah, Dave won't ride that. He gets scared.
No, but I would go with Owen.
Owen would make you feel better.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you watching on TV these days, Owen? What's a good show I ought to be watching?
What's your favorite show?
American Ninja Warriors.
Yeah. American Ninja Warriors. Oh, when I'm 58, how do you think I'd do on that show? Yeah, exactly. Not so good. You're 1,000% right. Well, listen, pal, you are an absolute amazing young man and an inspiration to all of us. And Susan, let me tell you something. Mom of the Year doesn't begin to sum up what you do every day. Tell me a little bit more about the rest of your family.
Well, right now, there's still the same six living here. Tyler's turning 16 on Saturday.
Good. Happy birthday.
And then Owen, he just had his birthday and he's 12. And then we've got Ryder is 9 and he has some special needs. Kaylin is also 9. And then Olivia has some special needs. And then I have Joseph who has a lot of special needs. So it's a wonderful house. And you would think with six kids it would be chaotic in here, and it really isn't. I've got very wonderful, well-behaved children.
What keeps you going? I mean, look, here's what we know, and I don't know how often you get a chance to hear the show, Susan, but I'm very proud of my son who is working with a foster care and foster care to adoption charity called called Let It Be Us. And they do amazing work. But as a foster parent, at times, just an exponentially powerful woman, what keeps you going?
The smiles on these kids' faces every single day. There's a lot of nights when I'll be honest, I go to bed like, that's it, I'm done, I can't do this anymore. Then you wake up the next morning and these kids are all running through the house smiling and, seeing Owen running through and all of his accomplishments and all the other kids and all that they've achieved. One of my children was born at 23 weeks. Extremely early, and she just barrels through this house like nothing ever happened to her. So when you see the things that these kids have gone through, I have to keep going. They inspire me. They're my heroes.
Well, Owen, you make your mom happy. You make us happy. And for what you've gone through, it is absolutely amazing who you are and what I know you're going to be, because you're already a huge success in life and you're going to be a continued big star success in whatever you want to do. So it's an honor to have you on the show again, pal.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead, Owen.
Could everybody do a random act of kindness?
Yeah, this is important. This is what you wanted for your birthday, right? You want people to do random acts of kindness.
Yep.
So, you know, hold the door. You know, you're in line for a coffee, buy coffee for the person behind you that you don't know. Those type of things, right?
Yep.
Oh, and you're a good man. And Susan, thank you. God bless your family.
Thank you. Thank you for spreading the word.
I appreciate you being on. You could, of course, do the Facebook page and follow Owen Mahan, O-W-E-N-M-A-H-A-N. That young man in a scalding hot bathtub, boiling water. His birth parents, birth family, such that it was, couldn't take care of him. Chose not to, whatever the full story is. And Susan stepped in, as she did for the other kids she mentioned, some with significant special needs. I mean, that woman is just, you know, there's some very special people in the world, and we come across all of them, or a lot of them, I should say. But that's somebody that...
Is sainthood too strong a word?
Yeah, come on.
No, she deserves it. Oh, my gosh.
It's incredible. And Owen, who has been through more than any of us will ever go through in a lifetime, says it's going to be a great day every day when he gets out.
And the way he talks about surgery, it's like brushing his teeth.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm going to surgery.
Yeah,
you know, because he's had so many surgeries for skin grafts and everything else.
Yeah, we don't even... 98% of his body was burned. He was not supposed to live. And there he is, making everybody's day better every time he wakes up in the morning and goes out and does what he does. So, special people. The MVPP is the most valuable person on the planet, and right about this time, we tend to award it anyway. So we said, obviously, it's Susan Mahan and her, you know, yeah. I mean, you know, what she does for her entire family.
Good call.
So thank you, Susan. Give them all pizza. Lou Malnati's, loumalnati's.com. And, of course, thank you very much to the fine people who sponsor the MVPP every day. Mega Pros. The Mega Pros. They make it fun to get stuff done.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
It's 7:23. We continue on this 1,421st Steve Cochran Show. Our friend Rick Pearson hasn't been on in a while. Be good to talk to him coming up. You know, Kasara is filling in this week. Kasara, a very unique name for a very unique person who is quite an entrepreneur, quite a businesswoman. So we'll have her in here in a while. She's sitting in for Michael Heidemann this week to explain what she does. It's got a thriving business going.
I don't know what she does.
22, 23 years old.
Well, good for her.
So we may both end up working for her. Dean Richards later as well with more on entertainment. And then there's news on the Butterfinger front. What? Butterfinger Candy Bar decided they're going to remake Butterfingers. I mean, don't break up. If the Butterfinger, you know what's the old saying? If the Butterfinger's not broke, don't fix it. 312-981. Remember that
old saying?
You remember that old saying?
Yeah, who's complaining about that?
312-981-7200 is the number. It's time now to play Lollapalooza Band, or a band I was in. Tomorrow, Dean will be at Lollapalooza. This is an annual tradition where Dean puts on a hat. Because, you know, the top of his head could sunburn. And then he goes out and he stands at Lollapalooza hours before anybody's let in. Generally, it's super hot. It's not going to be so terrible tomorrow. And he sweats all over himself while he waits for kids to come in to watch music that he no longer understands.
It's his favorite thing of the year, besides the Taste of Chicago.
Ah, the trouble he goes through. So we'll talk to Dean about that coming up as well. You know, there's a lot of bands with a lot of crazy names. And sometimes it helps to compare them to the bands I've been in. So that's why, once again, now we're going to play Lollapalooza Band, or a band that I was in. And we go to Fred in Montgomery to start things off. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning.
All right, Fred, are you ready to play?
I am ready to play.
The band is Hobo Johnson and the Lovemakers. Hobo Johnson and the Lovemakers.
Oh, boy. That one sounds plausible, so I am going to go a band.
That's a band. That's a Lollapalooza band. Ding, 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 Johnny. Very good.
Deductive reasoning.
Thank you.
Congratulations. We'll tell you what you've won off the air. It's very impressive. Very, very impressive. Super Joe, we haven't had a loser this year, have we?
Just me.
Well, you're a loser, but you're my favorite one. I don't think we've had anybody lose yet on Lollapalooza band or a band I was in.
The callers have been very good, very knowledgeable on the bands that you have been in.
Yeah, it's no kidding. Man,
Dave, you always went to Lollapalooza. You and Lindsay, didn't you? Used to go?
She used to go.
Isn't it her birthday today?
Today's her birthday.
Happy birthday, Lindsay. Yeah, that's cool. Let's go to John in Munster, Indiana. What are you up to this morning, John?
Just working away, my friend.
And what is that? What job?
Well, it's stunt work in porn.
He's in the stunt porn business, much like I was at one point.
Who does he stunt for?
Part, believe me.
Well, you're perfect for this then. Lollapalooza band or a band I was in. Are you ready to play?
I am ready to play.
The band is the Mother Corn Shuckers. The Mother Corn Shuckers.
Band you were in.
A band I was in. Yes! Congratulations! Dang, 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 dang. You're very good. Nicely done, John. You have prizes as well. And Super Joe, for those fine people, what would you like to give them off the Steve Cochran Show prize list?
Let's give Fred and John a MyPillow.
You both win MyPillows, guaranteed to be the most comfortable pillow you'll ever own. Sleep well tonight on your MyPillow. Dave, remember, it's not your pillow. It's not my pillow. It's their pillow. And then they'll be able to call it MyPillow.
MyPillow.
MyPillow.com, use the promo code WGN. More of that to come later on in the program. First at 727. We'll come back with your headline shortly on 720. And what is it again? Where are we? 720 WGN.
The African-American people have been calling the White House. They have never been so happy as what a president has done. Not only the lowest unemployment in history for African-Americans, not only opportunity zones for really the biggest beneficiary of the inner city, and not only criminal justice reform, but they're so happy that I pointed out the corrupt politics of Baltimore. It's filthy dirty. It's so horrible. And they are happy as hell.
The number you have reached has been disconnected.
The President of the United States and his 7% approval rate among African Americans, touting his success yesterday in painting an actual hero of the civil rights movement, Elijah Cummings, is a racist and pointing out how terribly dirty Baltimore. I lived in Baltimore for a year and a half. Baltimore's like any big city. Baltimore's got problems. But Baltimore's inner harbor is beautiful. Baltimore's neighborhoods are beautiful. Suburbs are beautiful. You know, it's like saying Chicago is filthy, dirty, and rat-infested. New York is filthy, dirty, and rat-infested. By the way, health inspectors in New York City found a major rat problem in a Trump Tower in New York. And Jared Kushner is an apartment landlord and owns a ton of apartment buildings in Baltimore. And it's been in and around Baltimore. It's been well-documented the past couple of days. The violations that they have logged, whether it's infestations of critters or other problems. So, once again, Trump off the deep end. You know, Rick Pearson joins us now. Rick Pearson, finest political writer in America, and Rick Pearson, host of the Sunday Spin. Hi, buddy.
Hey, good morning.
You know what I found most Trumpian about that little rant there? The idea that people call the White House and get him or get his people directly. So they can just call up and tell him how thrilled they are with him.
Well, it's a common theme. I mean, whenever he is kind of backed into that kind of a corner, he talks about, you know, the farmers that are calling to support him on the issue of payments to make up for losses from the tariffs with China. And then you start asking for specifics, you know, who called, you know, who whatever, then there's silence. So, I mean, it's just part of the rhetoric that, unfortunately, we're all becoming so numb to.
I don't for a minute, and you know this about me, I don't for a minute buy that he has strategy. And this constant harangue I've been hearing from all the news channels, frankly, about how he's solidifying his base. His 30% aren't going anywhere. He doesn't need to solidify anything. His 30% are going to be there. His 30% are going to show up and vote. The question is, will the 60 to 70% who want him out show up?
Yeah, and that's the, you know, when you look at that base, you're absolutely right. It's not going anywhere. He's got that. But it kind of defies the normal logic of politics, is that as a candidate, you know what your base is, and then you work to grow that base. Mm-hmm. What I do think what you're seeing, though, is that, yes, he knows he's got that 30%, whatever, 40%. Now it's just all going to be trying to knock down the opposition and paint them in the worst light, trying to reduce turnout on the other side, trying to take those independents who may have questions and raise real concerns in their mind about voting for a Democrat.
That's the key to this entire thing. And whether you watch the debates last night, tonight, or don't watch them at all. And by the way, I wouldn't blame you if you don't, because people aren't going to get engaged till next summer, not this summer. But the fact of the matter is, Donald Trump didn't go off on this deep end and paint himself as a racist because he likes being called a racist. It's because he has no self-control and he watches too much TV. And you can see in a real-time reaction when he reacts to Fox News. And that's exactly what this Elijah Cummings thing started with.
Absolutely. It was a video of some of the bad conditions that exist in Baltimore. As you said, they exist in every city. In this case, it was Baltimore. And he finds, what in his mind is a convenient foil by going after Elijah Cummings. And, you know, this is a congressman who's had great stature on Capitol Hill, who actually is known as somebody, even as chairman of oversight, which can be a very rough partisan committee, but even as chairman of oversight, has had a very good working relationship with Republicans or members of the committee. So it's been kind of interesting to see, once again, a lack of response among Republican members in Congress when he picks on someone who, I wouldn't say is an icon, but somebody who kind of upholds that standard of trying to work across the aisle.
And a guy on that Republican side who was called a racist, who Elijah Cummings went out of his way during the Cohen hearings to defend. What has he said to defend his friend, Elijah Cummings?
Yeah. Mark Meadows, and he basically said that, I know Elijah Cummings, he's a friend, he's not a racist, but then went on to say, but I don't believe the president is a racist either. And when you have that kind of meme of constant attacks on members of Congress who are people of color in very, very pointed rhetoric, to say that the president is not a racist, those remarks are racist. There's
of course they are.
There's no parsing here. It's not, well, what he meant to say was. No, that he said what he meant to say. And so people are not exactly satisfied with Meadows' statement.
By the way, I heard something yesterday, I suppose. I've lost track of the time, of somebody going, black people can't be racist. Anybody can be a racist. If you believe you're better than somebody else or somebody's less than you based on the color of their skin, you're a racist. That's not, it's not defined by color.
Absolutely, absolutely. One interesting thing I thought, and the president has taped an interview with C-SPAN where he said that the word racist is getting bandied about so much that it's lost its meaning.
No, it hasn't.
But here again, in this pattern that we've seen of this president about, getting numb to these kind of statements, is that really happening? Just when you think it can't go any worse, there's always some kind of new kind of statement. And it's just this constant churning that he creates, that after a while you do wonder, are people even paying attention to it?
The Democrats continue to be in a giant clown car and trying to figure out what they're going to do and who's going to drive. Tonight, night two of this debate, doubleheader, will feature Biden and Kamala Harris and others. Biden still has a large lead, if you believe the early polls, yes?
Yes. And in fact, it was kind of interesting in night one last night that Biden's name didn't even come up. It seemed like, you know, here was an opportunity of the two leaders of the progressive side to have a chance to kind of go after Biden in absentia, and Biden's name didn't come up. So it'll be interesting to see kind of a, in some respects, a rematch between Biden and Kamala Harris.
The incredible cowardice that's been shown by the Republicans in Congress, to me, is unprecedented. Having said that, the Democrats, not exactly backbone types either, because they continue to dip their toes in the water of impeachment or actual punishment for bad behavior in the executive branch by saying things like, Rick, you know, we're troubled by that. And we're going to need to examine that and all the other political cliches that you've heard for way too many years. What is an impeachment inquiry versus an impeachment proceeding?
That's really parsing things. I mean, it's, you can argue right now that what House Judiciary is doing under Democrat Jerry Nadler, you can argue that what they're doing is basically an impeachment inquiry. In fact, the committee went so far as to try to subpoena documents and explicitly told the court that their right to get these documents fell under their purview of the Articles of Impeachment in the Constitution. So we're seeing an impeachment inquiry. It's just Nadler would like to give it the full-blown blessing of being called an impeachment inquiry.
Can you hang with me for a second?
Sure.
All right, more with Rick Pearson coming up. What's on the Sunday Spin this week? Do you know yet?
We're still putting the show together, but we'll certainly take a review of the debate action from last night and tonight, as well as we'll be taking a look at a story that the BGA did about the billions of dollars that have gone into O'Hare Airport, and what are we actually getting for all of that money?
Everybody should get nuts. Everyone should get at least one bag of peanuts, don't you think? Come on. More with Rick Pearson.
They're taking those away, too.
Yes, they are. More with Rick Pearson in a second. Chicago Tribune, chicagotribune.com, TV, of course, and on the radio, Dave. He does a great job every Sunday morning on the Sunday Spin. And it kicks off your Sunday morning politics, if you're into that. And all that is running the country in your lives.
There's no preparation. The details aren't worked. You can't just spring a plan on the world and expect it to succeed.
You know, I don't understand why anybody goes to all the trouble of running for president of the United States just to talk about what we really can't do and shouldn't fight for.
To the Steve Cochran Show.
Rick Pearson with us. I'll tell you what, if you ever, Dave, if you ever need to know anything about politics, I mean, I don't know what Rick knows about, you know, changing the oil on a car.
Actually, I think he knows a lot.
I don't know. He knows about trigonometry. But if you want to know about politics, no trig.
No, not at all.
Is Elizabeth Warren making any inroads?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, I think as we've seen with the Democrats, and we used to call it, you know, the insurgent versus the establishment, and now it's purely progressive versus moderate. I think the Democratic struggle is trying to find a progressive who's pragmatic. And a couple of issues that came up on stage last night with Warren particularly, but also with Bernie Sanders about decriminalizing the border, Medicare for all, with that means you would lose your private health insurance. Even Warren saying that she would adopt a policy of no first nuclear strike by the United States if an ally was tech. You know, those are things that certainly give fodder to Republicans. And as I said earlier about, you know, if your base isn't growing, then you have to go after your opponents. And I think there was plenty of fodder there for Republicans. Her comeback line that, you know, if you're kind of this naysayer, you're just echoing Republican talking points, you're going to hear that a lot. I mean, she's a very powerful speaker. You know, Bernie was flapping his arms as he normally does, and in some respects it's almost as if Elizabeth Warren has almost eclipsed Bernie Sanders as that kind of once insurgent candidate. But yeah, the bottom line struggle, and I'm not sure that any of those moderates on stage did much to hurt that progressive cause. Pete Buttigieg, you know, obviously, I think is still a very valid contender there, because he also tries to play the fact that if you want someone knowledgeable, maybe not as progressive, but certainly someone of a new generation and a new generational change, he could be that candidate. Beto O'Rourke, I think has pretty much flared out, and now we'll see going into night two what the next 10 candidates bring us.
So much of this is a kabuki theater, because the powers of the president are not known or realized until you become the president. And you can promise the world. It doesn't mean you're going to get any of it through Congress. You don't know what the makeup of Congress will be. So really all this is about is what you stand for, not what you'll get done.
Yeah, and you know, let's face it too, if you're going to be a president with an active agenda, you're going to need 60 Democrats in the Senate.
Right.
As well as, you know, having control of the House. One of the interesting lines I thought last night was that, you know, in the 40-some seats that flipped from Republican to Democrat in the midterms last year, that really none of those candidates running for Congress were espousing as progressive an agenda as you're seeing coming from the top, from Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren.
People don't want private insurance to go away. The Medicare for All thing, that's something that should have been done before Obamacare was rolled out. Not now. I don't understand why this is attractive. In the same way that I don't understand why people don't understand you can't just give everybody free college.
Right. And you know, part of the issue of private insurance really, you know, ties to the Democratic allies and the unions who wanted to make that part of negotiations, particularly, you know, in the auto industry. This could have been something that could have been accomplished years ago and wasn't for that very reason. And obviously some of the questioning last night, you know, in Detroit, Motor City, is, you know, you've got auto workers that they like the health insurance that they've gotten bargained through their union. They don't want to have to give that up.
Exactly. All right. So as we go into tonight, Biden, does he need to make a splash or just not blow up?
Both. And one is to see what is his kind of back and forth with Kamala Harris after the last the first go round, where the issue, she kind of trumped him on that issue of his support, his opposition to busing to achieve racial balance in public schools. It'll be interesting to see how they relate to each other on the stage, and I think that's what everybody's looking at. And as you point out, you know, it is Uncle Joe. You never know, quite frankly, sometimes what he's going to say. So it'll be interesting to see if he really comes at this in calm, measured tones. It's his stage to command if he wants it.
If you believe, as I do, that there's a Six Flags between Trump's ears and most of the rides are broken, you know that one of the things that really lights him up is his tax return stuff. Yesterday, the governor of California signed a bill that said you're not getting on the ballot unless you show the public your tax returns. I assume that'll be court challenged.
Yeah, it will be court challenged. Gavin Newsom had been kind of seesawing on that issue ultimately before signing it. You've also got the issue going on in the New York court system over Trump's tax returns there and the Trump trying to fight the release of those. But yeah, it will come down to an issue, constitutional issue of qualifications for office. There are states' rights issues involved here. So it'll be an interesting read to see how the courts really do decide this.
What is happening in the city of Chicago that we need to be paying attention to?
Well, I mean, we're kind of waiting to see what, quite frankly, I think number one is Mayor Lightfoot and a new budget. And she's already made steps to move, delay issuing her budget proposal. Obviously, she said things are worse off than it was, you know, when I ran for office. I didn't know all these things. But we don't really have any kind of idea of the magnitude of how bad things are, let alone what her plans are to try to make up for the financial mess that we've got in this city. And that's something everybody just needs to keep an eye out for.
And what are the Pritzker people busy with, other than ignoring requests for interviews?
Well, he's busy still on a various bill signing tour yesterday. Enhanced penalties for Scott's Law, which requires motorists to move over when they see emergency vehicles at the side of the road. Obviously, a response to some of the tragedies we've seen involving Illinois State Troopers on the roads this year. You know, we've got the issue of steroids going on out in the western suburbs and ethylene oxide emissions. There's kind of a court battle going on over that. There are all kinds of things. We're not getting any kind of summer break, that's for sure.
It's you never get a break. That's why it's so great to have you on, because you know stuff and we don't. Rick Pearson.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks, Steve.
Sunday Spin, 7 a.m. every Sunday morning. Do not miss it. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you.
Chicago Tribune, ChicagoTribune.com, at Rap 30, RAP30, all over your social media situation.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey, you know I love you more than one night.
Moron Entertainment from the telephone. Why? Well, because in the midst of going off the air yesterday, we apparently burned up our connection to Channel 9 and Dean.
The wires actually burned up.
I don't know. Sounded more dramatic if I said it that way.
It does sound, it's very old school.
So we put in all this new equipment last year when we moved over to 303 East Wacker, millions and billions of dollars of equipment. And apparently we had like a, domino sort of effect. One computer went down and then a bunch of them went down. Suddenly you're off the air.
It was a blade burner.
That's what, literally.
Yeah.
Yeah. These blades, as they're called, they all failed.
Nobody would listen to me when I said don't buy all the new equipment at Radio Shack.
Yeah, especially since Radio Shack's been closed for a while.
That's what I mean. It was a closeout.
It was on sale. Come on.
Right?
Yeah.
So we've got brand new gerbils and hamsters in here, and they are running that treadmill hard. And so far, so good this morning.
Didn't gerbils and hamster used to do the morning show on B96?
I think they still are over there.
They're quite
a success story. Eddie and Jobo, Gerbil and Hamster. I think that was the follow-up.
Yeah.
Lisa Marie Presley's in the news. Cardi B's in the news. ASAP Rocky is in the news. You know, he's Donald Trump's favorite rapper. And we've got a honey of a deal from Dean. Dave, looks like we're going to have to partnership again in our partnership of real estate buying that we do.
This is a good real estate deal. As soon as I finish up at Lollapalooza this weekend, I'm going to get back out to the coast to see if we can wrap up the deal. Did I tell you that I'm performing at Lollapalooza this weekend?
Are you? What are you doing?
I'm on Friday. They're doing on one of the stages. They're doing the music of Hamilton.
Okay.
They've got a lot of the stars from the musical that are going to come over and they're going to perform from 2 until 4 o'clock. Is what I understand.
Not going to miss my shot.
That's right, and it's going to be the room where it happens, if you will.
In the room where it happens.
And then after that performance, I'm going to do a Q&A with them, an interview with the stars of Hamilton on stage at Lollapalooza. So I can now put on my resume, Voice of Victory Auto Records has performed at Lollapalooza.
Nice pants. A band I was in or a Lollapalooza band?
That is a band you were in.
That's very good, man. You nailed it. If you'd like to play with Dean's help.
Young Gravy.
Would that be Y-U-N-G, Young?
Yes, it is.
Lollapalooza band.
That's correct.
Yep. I'll tell you what you don't want.
As old as we think.
You don't want the old gravy. The old gravy, that's where your problems are.
Nobody wants old gravy.
312-917-200. If you want to play Lollapalooza Band or a band I was in, Dean will help you. 312-917-200. We'll come back and do that as well as go over those many, many stories and hear about Dean's honey of a deal that Dave and I will make a cash offer on that Dean will sneer at.
Do I have time to run to the ATM?
Let's just add the amount of money we're going to take out of the ATM into your wallet now, kind of a virtual ad, because if they accept our offer, you have plenty of time to get it.
Good.
Okay?
Yep.
All right, Dean, stand by. We'll be back. Hold on, Dean. Don't go anywhere.
I'm not. I'm here on the phone.
It's Dean Richards. Yesterday, what we're referencing there, if you're not aware, we got knocked. The mighty WGN got knocked off the air. And we had to do a whole lot of scrambling and get it back on after a 45-minute, hour and a half problem, whatever it was. But we are good today. The power of duct tape.
Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richards, the entertainment editor, Channel 9720. Top man, pro and steady. Tune in, cause it's always.
And back to Dean as we continue on Moron Entertainment. You know, I keep seeing clips pop up, Dean, of this Bachelorette. This is nuts on wheels. I mean, you know, if I were one of those 30 guys, I'd run as fast as I could before the show was over.
Yeah, I don't know why anybody ever wants to be involved in that. There's just a certain mentality that some people have that crave validation, crave attention. I guess some of the contestants have, you know, it's been a launching pad for them to other things. So, you know, that may be it. But silly me, I was watching the debates last night instead of the Bachelorette or Bachelor. I don't even know. I watched it.
Yeah, Bachelorette. Bachelor. I told myself, Dean, I was not going to watch it the entire season this time because I, you know, I just got rid of it out of my repertoire. And I ended up watching the last two episodes just to see who she picked.
And where, you know, I did not see the debate in great detail. Dean, where do the candidates stand on The Bachelorette?
Yeah, you know, that's the sham of it all. Jake Tapper didn't even bring it up.
See, that's outrageous. Fake news.
He's focusing on, you know, silly, lighthearted topics like health care and racism in America.
Come on, Jake. You're better than that.
Come on. They talked about windmill sex. I mean, come on.
Yeah. And by the way, stretch before you try that. I'm telling you right now. All right, let's go to the phone, Dean. We're going to play a quick couple of rounds here of Lollapalooza Band or a band I was in, starting with Louie in Hoffman Estates. Hi, Louie. The band,
we have a movement growing.
The band is called Schlump. Schlump, is that a band I was in or a Lollapalooza band? And don't be afraid to ask Dean for help.
I'm going to go with Lollapalooza band.
You agree or disagree, Dean?
I would have disagreed with him on that.
Turns out he's right. Schlump is a Lollapalooza band. There you go, Louie. Get it done. Adams and Carol Stream. Adam, are you ready to play?
I am.
The band is Octopus Carnival. By the way, that you should see the tilt-a-whirl at that thing. Octopus Carnival.
I'm going to say that's a band you were in.
Dean, agree or disagree?
I would agree with them.
That is a band I was in. We had eight guys. Hold on. Waiting for the reaction. Dorothy's in Addison, Dorothy. You're the last player in this round. Tough to follow. You've already got two winners. Are you ready to play?
Oh, okay, I'm ready.
The band is Yak Jerky. Yak Jerky. You know who loved Yak Jerky? Spike Odell loved Yak Jerky.
He did. We had Yak Jerky in studio.
Dean, help me out.
I'm going to say that he may be that this may have been a band that Steve was in.
I'll go with Dean.
That's correct. We continue to be undefeated or completely defeated, depending on your perspective. Hold the line. Dorothy, you're a winner as well.
This must be America's favorite game.
Oh, it absolutely is. Do you remember Yak Jerky? We played a lot of Barry Manilow covers.
We did. Tonight's debate, I think that they should devote a significant amount of time to playing this very game to see how relatable the candidates are to pop culture.
Senator Warren, Popcorn Butter. Is that a band Steve was in or a Lollapalooza band? Sponsored by Ravinia, we continue with Dean. All right, so what is this Lisa Marie Presley story?
So Lisa Marie, you know, the daughter of Elvis Presley, has signed a book deal, multi-million-dollar book deal, said to be worth between $4 and $5 million, to write a tell-all book about her dad and also her ex-husband. You may remember that she was married to Michael Jackson for a year and a half in the 1990s, and she's agreed to. She said it's going to be a tell-all. She's not going to hold anything back. You're going to see her dad in a whole new way. And she said she's going to write about Michael Jackson, who chose drugs over her. So, you know, it may not be overly complimentary.
Wow.
In an old interview with Diane Sawyer years ago, she said that she didn't believe any of the child abuse allegations against Michael Jackson at the time. We'll see if she still feels that way.
There's a piece of tape I saw the other day, which I had forgotten about, but it was after the marriage, and there were some people suggesting the marriage was a sham and fraudulent and all that, and it was just cover. And Michael Jackson saying that it was nobody's business whether or not he had consummated his marriage.
Right.
Consummate being brought soup to your new bride, I believe. I'm not sure what it would mean if you were consummating your marriage. The Disney star story said...
The Disney story is that the Lion King movie over the weekend crossed the $1 billion mark.
That's not the sad one.
The sad story. It's about the Disney star.
Cameron Boyce.
The 20-year-old Cameron Boyce, who died a couple of weeks ago. The autopsy results came out yesterday, and he died of epilepsy. He had a seizure in his sleep and died. They did a toxicology test. They found no drugs except epilepsy medication. So a very sad story of this young man that I never talked to him, but anyone who ever had any encounter with him said that he was a great kid.
Cardi B canceled her concert because of security concerns. Were one of her boobs going to blow up? What was the concern?
This is a non-boob related security incident.
Okay.
She was supposed to do a show in Indianapolis last night, and because of shootings that have taken place at public places like the Garlic Festival in California and some other events over the past few weeks, there were some threats that were called in. They decided to shut the whole thing down. So Cardi B did not perform in Indianapolis. They've rescheduled the concert there for September 11th, if anybody was holding tickets. You can use the same tickets for the rescheduled date show.
Well, I'm glad everybody's okay. And I do, at least I've heard, you can tell me if I'm right or wrong about this, that the concert will take place in her cleavage next time. Is that accurate?
That is absolutely correct. They're going to be pulling in not only the concert, but they're going to be doing a food truck festival also, that they're going to be backing in several vehicles.
Beep, beep, beep.
Same time.
ASAP Rocky going to trial?
ASAP Rocky has gone to trial. The battery and assault charges began yesterday, so we're going to keep an eye on that. I think the more interesting story in this whole
this
thing
is
how
this is so great.
How other rappers, you know, are coming to his defense.
And what are they doing?
Well, the one rapper in particular by the name of Machine Gun Kelly was asked if he will, you know, if he's going to boycott Swedish products, and said that, yes, he was going to no longer eat Swedish fish. You know, that candy, the wonderful, delicious candy that you get.
Please tell me he was kidding and he's not that big an idiot.
Well, I don't know if he's that big of an idiot or not. The funny part of this whole thing, I mean, for one thing, to say you're not going to eat Swedish fish is pretty funny. Swedish fish are actually made in Canada. They are not made in Sweden.
And ASAP Rocky, Dave, you probably don't know this, for years performed with FYI Bullwinkle. And I haven't heard word from FYI Bullwinkle and how he feels about ASAP Rocky.
And wasn't Natasha part of that also?
That was LOL Natasha.
Yes. Yes. All is sponsored by Ravinia. It's time now for Dean to do his real work. Are you ready?
Yeah, this is my main job, as you know, celebrity realtor to the stars. And today, Steve, I have, I can only describe it as a honey of a deal.
Oh, you've never said that before.
This is the longtime home of actress Rose Marie, who you remember was Sally Rogers on the Dick Van Dyke Show. She was on Hollywood Square. She was on the Doris Day Show, a variety of roles. But
she just passed away not that long ago, right?
She did just pass away, I think about a year ago now.
Yeah.
But for 70 years, she lived in a ranch-style home, kind of modest ranch-style home, in the Chisholm Estates neighborhood of Van Nuys, California.
Okay.
And her family has put this home on the market for $1.4 million.
That's the smallest price I've ever heard out of you.
That's of any of the deals that we've done recently. You know, it's a small home. It's a three-bedroom home. There's a lot of wood paneling. I mean, she's lived in this house for 70 years. So, you know, it needs a little updating. It's 2,800 square feet. It's got lots of wood paneling, wood flooring, natural stone fireplace. But it's the history of this home that is amazing. Mary Tyler Moore, Burl Ives, Betty White, Tim Conway, Lucille Ball, Desi Arnaz, Vincent Price, Dick Van Dyke were frequent visitors.
Sure,
at Rosemarie's home, which I think is kind of cool.
It is kind of cool. And this shows, Dave, that Dean takes his real estate job as a labor of love. He's not making the big commish on this deal.
No.
He just wants to be a part of making sure Rosemarie's home gets into good hands.
But he left that so Maury Amsterdam was not a frequent visitor?
Maury Amsterdam is not on the listing sheet as a frequent visitor in this home, but I know they were very good friends.
Maury lived in Beverly Hills. I know that because I went to his house.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I interviewed Maury Amsterdam at his kitchen table in his house.
Was it fun?
Nope.
What did Maury do to you?
No, he was a nice man. It was later in the day and he was tired. And, you know, I would say the questions and answers didn't go quite as I had hoped.
That's disappointing when that happens.
Yeah. All right. So
you want him to be on fire. You want a Maury Amsterdam to be on fire.
Very funny guy.
Yeah.
Very funny.
Just
guy.
As you say, though, I'm not in this. You know, I'm not even taking commission on this deal. What I'm doing is I'm getting one of Rosemarie's trademark hair bows.
Oh, that's nice.
As commission on this deal,
that's worth more than just about anything.
That'll be duct taped on my bald head.
That's a hot look for you. All right, yeah. $1.2 million. Dave, I've got $210. What are you carrying?
I have in my wallet, I have a crisp $20 bill.
And we're going to add another $200 from the ATM that you'll bring in later?
Yes.
$210, $220. We're up to $430. Anybody else want in on our limited partnership?
I have $8.
$438. Steve Grzanich, you want it?
I have $0.
All right, then we'll continue not a partner.
Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz performed a song in this house.
Super Joe?
Like an old-fashioned showbiz house. They were having a party, and Lucy and Desi get up on with the piano, and they sing a song. It's history.
$438, Super Joe. You adding anything?
Nope, too scared it's haunted.
All right, $400. It's got a haunted ottoman, which trips all of its guests when they come in. $438, Dean. That's cash money, sucker.
I'm writing this down right now. I'm doing the necessary paperwork on this right now.
All right. You'll
I have
let us
a lot
in.
Of quarters. Do you want those? I'm using them for bingo.
I'm sure we'll need them for laundry. And by the way, Dean, she's not kidding. She's using them for bingo.
What do you use quarters for? Do you put quarters on the bingo cards?
No, when I play at the home with my aunt.
Oh.
Yeah. It's a quarter a game.
She goes to the nursing home and she gambles heavily.
I call it.
Yeah. All right, buddy. Thanks for being a fellow moron. You know, it really comes down to the hope of the future of the universe. You and I, co-morons, Moron Entertainment.
Proudly representing the morons live from Lollapalooza with you tomorrow morning.
Oh, God, I can't wait to see you sweating in that hat. What a treat for the rest of us. That's Dean, who's already dreading coming to work tomorrow, and that's Moron Entertainment.
Things that are disappearing because millennials refuse to pay for it. Cereal. Cereal's become an inconvenience. Millennials buying less cereal than ever before. New York Times reported 40% of millennials surveyed said that it's an inconvenient breakfast choice because they had to clean up after eating it.
Oh, yes, come on.
Because you have to have milk involved, a bowl.
Public gyms. The gym is a thing of the past. You hear people prefer boutique studio classes, online streaming services, running clubs, CrossFit gyms, the big general get in shape, that kind of gym, no more. And the name of the game now is body wash, combined products, because it's such a hassle having to use more. Shampoo with conditioner.
Okay, nobody uses soap anymore.
Like the bars of soap?
Yes.
No.
That drives me crazy. I love my bar of soap. What's going to happen? Irish Spring, and I like it too.
I don't know, but your accent is tremendous.
That was bad.
One of the many voices Mary Vandeville does. She's a woman of 1,000 voices. Maybe 1,001. Do you do the Queen? Because maybe you'll take over my impression.
Oh, darling, how is my corgi this morning?
So you don't do the Queen then?
No. You do a much better Queen.
Oh, thank you. You have to roll in a little more desperation, I think, to really nail it.
Yeah.
We're going to play another couple of rounds of Lollapalooza Band, or a band I was in, at 312-981-7200. That's 312-981-7200. Anybody on the show taking a vacation soon, Dave?
I believe I am, yes.
And you're going to go to the mountains?
I'm going to mountains.
Are you camping, Dave?
Not camping, but hiking. Maybe some rafting.
Oh, look at you.
Have you done the whitewater?
I have, yes.
What level? Probably threes?
I've done fours.
You've done fours?
I've done fours.
Oh, fours are crazy.
I think I did actually a little higher than that by mistake in Canada.
So you had the Canadian?
Yes.
Four. Well, that's even more dangerous.
How high does it go?
Six, I think.
Oh,
I don't know, something like that.
Yeah, and it's the type of thing where a lot of people don't come home. But Dave, as long as you're one of them that comes home, we're fine.
I will be coming home.
There's a new, you know, the list. We live in a list-crazed America, as you know. And there's a new list out this morning, which I think is good considering you're going on vacation. This is a dozen things you ought to do before you leave your hotel room. You staying in a hotel or you staying in a tent?
I am staying in a hotel on the road.
Okay. Now, you've stayed in a million hotels traveling.
Yes.
Okay. Tell me if you do these, because this first one I've never done. Before you leave your hotel room, a list of things you should do from the experts. Check the bed and dresser underneath. Look under the bed and under the dresser.
Before you check out?
Before you leave your room.
What, if you forgot something?
Yes, I always look. When it's a hotel where there is any space under the bed, I always look under the bed. That's something my dad taught me when I was a kid.
I have never in my entire life looked under a hotel bed.
Always.
Neither have I.
But most of the hotel beds now don't have, they're just like on blocks. They don't have any space underneath.
Pull the bed linens back.
Yeah, I do that.
Never done it. You know, part of the reason I've never done it is I don't want to see what I slept on.
Yeah, well, no, I do it before I get in because of bed bugs.
Well, the bed cover. They no, like I'm
talking about
cover.
No, I'm talking about you pick up the bottom sheet and you look underneath it because that's where they would be hiding out.
Not me. I've never done this one. Leave the used towels in the tub.
No.
Leave them on the floor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have not heard that.
What about take the food you want to keep? A lot of hotels I go, I was in a very nice hotel recently that had no minibar. No minibar, no opportunity. As a matter of fact, no minibar. How about this? No minibar and no room service between 2 and 5 in the afternoon.
That seems really...
And this is a big city.
Primitive.
And also a stupid way not to make money.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm not going to those mini bars anymore, though. Not after all the Dominican Republic incidents.
Nobody. You know, it's funny you say that. There's people standing by right now. Dominican Republican incident was not a band I was in.
Nobody wants to go.
These are things you've got to do before you leave. Stack overflow takeout boxes next to the trash can. Well, it's just common sense.
You know? Yeah.
Let's see. Check between the mattress and the box spring. For what, a body?
Yeah, what do you want to find? I mean, money?
We're taking the entire room apart.
Well, an errant sock could get caught in there. I can see that.
The explanation is, in a room doesn't have a safe, hotel guests will sometimes hide items they don't want to leave around the room between the mattress and the box spring. Not me. Yeah. Move the furniture back if you've moved it.
Yeah, because I always move the, if specifically if there's a mirror on the wall, I always move it to see if it's not a two-way mirror.
Yeah, it's funny. I always take the furniture and I block the door. Because then I pretend that I'm holding out bad people, and I, you know, pretend that I'm some sort of private eye superhero. You can tell I didn't sleep much last night. Take your medications and supplies with you. Well, of course. Make sure you have all your chargers. I've probably left a bazillion dollars in chargers in hotel rooms.
I bet you chargers are the number one thing now that people forget.
Yeah, I'm sure many people have left the hotel business that were housekeepers and opened their own charger stores.
Yeah, exactly.
Think about a tip. Now, this is the think about a tip. You should tip. You should absolutely tip the housekeepers, even if it's a buck a day.
I do. Yes.
Yeah. Call down to the front desk for transportation because you're going to save yourself some time. You call down. Like, let's say you valet parked your car.
If you valet parked.
Valet parked your car. Yes. Call. By the way, valet parking your car in Chicago, $100 a day.
Yeah, it's more expensive a lot of times than the room, or as expensive.
$100 a day to park your car.
It doubles the cost.
And book your next day is one of the last things they say. So there you go. Some things, a little road tip or two.
I always clean the place up a little bit. I throw garbage and stuff away. And
throw out the blood?
Yeah, sometimes I just feel embarrassed that I've messed up a room so bad that I straightened it up a little bit.
The thing about taking extra food, like if I have something if there's a mini fridge, and there's an unopened soda or something, I'll leave it in there. Mm-hmm. And my housekeeper might want it.
Yeah. Yeah, same here. Can you imagine what housekeepers in big city hotels see? Even small hotels.
I worked in a hotel once in high school. I don't even like to think about
it. No, I can't imagine. Can't imagine. Do you want to play when we come back? Give me some guidance here, Joe. Should we take a break and then play? All right, let's take a break, and then we'll play Lollapalooza Band, or a band I was in with Dennis, Elizabeth, and Norman, and maybe you, at 312-981-7200.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
All right, you know the game. The game is Lollapalooza Band, or a band I was in. You know, you, Dave, everybody on the show, Mary, Steve, you all seem super amazed at the amount of bands I'm in. But I've had a long career.
Wait a minute, how long have we worked together? I'm kind of used to it now.
But you think about it. I mean, I've done some movies, done a lot of television.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't, and still do stand-up, why wouldn't I be involved in music?
Well, it's just I wonder why none of these bands has ever had really lasting power.
Longevity?
Yeah.
And you always say you never sleep. So, you know, you must be playing in bands all night.
That's what I'm saying. Let's go to Dennis in Wooddale. Good morning, Dennis. How are you?
Dennis is fine. I'm a big fan of yours, Steve.
You're
enjoy
good
the show.
Man. You're a good man, Dennis. I appreciate it. This works. You simply have to tell me if it's a band I was in or a Lollapalooza band. The band is Death Cab for Cutie. Death Cab for Cutie.
I believe that's a Lollapalooza band.
Ding, ding, ding.
Congratulations, my friend. You are a winner.
They're regulars at Lala, I think.
Yeah, Death Cab for Cutie comes in every year. They played SNL a couple times. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what I just bumped back with, too.
Yeah, there you go. Look at you. Elizabeth and Joliet, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing fine. What are you doing?
I'm driving.
How's
but hands-free.
How's that working out for you?
It's
good. I'm glad we had this talk. The band is Dirty Shirley. Dirty Shirley. And this is not a reference to the high school reunion I didn't make it back to. Dirty Shirley. Is that a band I was in or a Lollapalooza band?
I want to say it's a band you were in.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yes. Congratulations. What a streak. Thank you, Elizabeth. What a streak these listeners are on.
Who did you name that band after?
Dirty Shirley. Yeah. Somebody I once knew. Let's see. Norman's in Arlington Heights. Hello, Norman.
Hey, what's happening, Steve? Hey, love the show, everybody.
You know, we're working through this, and it's just amazing. I don't want you to be the first one to not nail this, because we literally have not had a listener blow this yet. No pressure at all.
Well, the easy ones are out there already, so we'll see, right?
The band is Bring Me the Horizon.
You, hey, over there, bring me the horizon.
Oh, man. I would say a band you're in, Steve.
Is that your final answer?
I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I know the answer.
Sure.
You want to ask for help for a friend?
Yeah, can I ask, let me ask one of the cast members or no?
Sure, Dave Bennett. Help her. Help him. Help her.
Okay.
Bring me the horizon, Dave.
That's a Lala band.
It's a Lala band.
Yeah, I think it's a Lala band.
Ding, ding, ding.
Congratulations.
Wow,
so close to defeat, but yet the streak continues. Thank you, man. Hold on. There you go. Just like that. Boom, boom, boom. Boom, boom, boom. You want one more since you just played?
Sure.
The band is Tickle, Tickle, Tickle.
That's a band you were in.
It's something,
ding, ding, ding.
It's also something that Abigail said to me last week. Tickle, tickle, tickle. It's 8:57, and the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where Steve will be next, and we'll get in the CLTV hour. And more to come, 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
On 720 WGN.
So we got a bunch of interesting people that work here. And a bunch of them were running around the hallway yesterday because the radio station basically melted down yesterday afternoon. If you were listening between 11:30 and Mary Vandeveld, what would you say? 11:30, quarter to one, something like that?
It was 11:36, actually, yeah. around that time.
Till 12:30.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Bertrand finally got back on the air. Bill and Wendy were on briefly. There was even a tape that was played of this show from 2014. Where that Jose Baez kid sounded like he had a promising future, as Dave Bennett told us back then.
Or Javier?
What did I say?
Jose?
I didn't sleep much. But anyway, the reason that the radio station went off the air yesterday briefly is because we didn't pay the bill. No.
That's not true.
The reason we went off the air yesterday is because we had a computer meltdown, a malfunction of massive order. And it took a while to get it fixed, but our Cracker Jack team of Cracker Jack people got it done. Meanwhile, most of the staff was running up and down the hallway going, I don't know what I should do. What should I do? Who should I talk to? What should I do? And we have had a backup studio ready to go all morning. And Steve Rozanich, I would be wrong probably to think anything other than this because it would be a good news story. You were kind of hoping we'd end up over there.
Well, yeah, I just need to know where it's at, actually. As a matter of fact, you want to do a drill now, and I can go there, and we can see how quickly I can get on the air. I'll put on my fire hat and run over there.
We need a name for this. Yeah. DEF CON something.
Yeah.
So.
I just think maybe there's like a buzz. Like, if we have some sort of alarm sound effect we can play, and then I'll just, like, get my fire gear and run down the hall.
I wonder if I could find an engineer right now who I go, hey, you know what would be funny? Is if we turned the whole station off and flipped it to another studio. I bet they'd love that gag right
It'd
now.
It'd be a good drill, though. I mean,
no doubt.
Yeah.
All right, I'll see what I can get done. So speaking of interesting people, have you noticed Kassara's been working this week?
I have, yes.
Kassara has, like, this whole mogul life that I didn't even know about. Did you know about this, Mary Vandeveld? Did you know Kassara's a mogul?
A mogul?
Yeah, she's a mogul.
It is.
Kassara,
she's an entrepreneur.
She's a hot DJ, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Kassara, you DJ with your own company. What's it called?
DJ Kassara.
And DJ Cash.
Kassara.
Cash Era. Money, homie.
Exactly.
Kassara.
Mm-hmm. That's why we call her Cash.
Yeah. And what type of gigs?
Anything and everything. I work with a lot of high schools all around the city and the surrounding suburbs.
You do weddings?
I do weddings. I do bar mitzvahs. I do graduations.
You do bat mitzvahs?
I've done one.
Okay. Yeah. And what's your favorite gig?
My favorite gig is probably with Soho House. We do a drag brunch the first Saturday of the month.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds funny. So the guys get up on that morning dressed like their favorite girl and they come in.
Exactly. And they walk on a bookshelf.
What do you mean they walk in a bookshelf?
Like, there's this really long bookshelf on
and that's the runway?
The floor, and that's their runway. Yeah. They take all the books off of it, and then they just go wild.
Did they ever fall off?
No, I've never seen one fall. Wow. Almost, but they turned it into a flip.
Good in heels.
Who wears the highest heels?
I think...
Well, how about this? How high are the highest heels?
The highest heels I've seen are like 6 inches.
6 inches?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know how women do it anyway.
you know, the whole heel thing.
I can't do it.
I'm going to create shoes that are going to jam your toes into the bottom of your feet and enjoy yourself.
Exactly.
I think we all have foot problems.
Yeah. Yeah, without a doubt. All right. So you've got your own DJ Cash Era truck.
Yeah.
With your mobile equipment.
Yes, the Cashmobile.
Now, you're just 22, 23 years old.
I'm 23. I'll be 24 in August.
Where'd you get the money to invest in this?
Just from the gigs. So my mom just taught me how to reinvest into myself and whatever I want to do.
How about that?
What's your marquee music? Is it house? Is it fresh beats?
I am known for throwbacks. So every set that I do, I always play some 90s and 80s music, no matter what.
By the way, Dave, 90s throwbacks. Throwback, 80s.
I know.
Those are throwbacks.
I just had to swallow hard there.
Yeah. 80s and 90s, we were grown-ups already working.
But well, listen to Grzanich with the the wording he's got going.
Yeah.
Like the horse house.
What was that beat thing you said?
Fresh beats.
Oh, fresh beats.
You got the house and hard house.
I had some last night.
Yeah. I don't like beats at all, to be honest with you. All right, so if people want to book you, what do they do?
Just go to djcashera.com or find me on any social media site.
DJ, any social media site?
Any social media. It's all
computer. Your social media.
My social
media. Okay.
Well, yeah, go to
I mean, if I go to Amazon, I'm not going to find you, right?
No, I'm not on, Amazon.
DJ Cash Era. C-A-S-H-E-R-A, right?
You got it.
What's it going to cost me for me? Now, I'm talking about me.
For you.
The friends and family discount. Let's say I want to throw a, hey, we're not off the air party. and I want you to bring the full rig in here.
The full setup.
Full setup.
Oh.
Playing for 2 hours.
For 2 hours, for you?
For
with,
me.
With the family and friends discount.
Family and friends.
You're looking at about $150.
Oh, man, I could do that today.
Yeah.
I got that kind of money. That kind of money's in my wallet talking to me right now.
You made that kind of money in 5 minutes. What are you talking about?
So here's the thing. We set it up, and this way we have music in case the station goes down again.
That's a great idea. Now, I've seen Kasura in action, too, because she's done stuff for Northwestern.
What are you doing for Northwestern?
Oh, yeah. I almost completely forgot about that. I used to DJ their men's football and basketball games. I was with them for 3 seasons.
Yeah.
Man, you were
three
getting it
seasons,
done.
You were like 10.
No, I wasn't 10. Like, I was still doing my undergrad at Columbia. I went to Columbia College Chicago.
Okay. Do you have brothers and sisters?
I have 2 younger siblings, a sister and a brother.
And they're in high school, college?
My sister is out of school. She does cosmetology. And then my brother is in high school.
Well, it sounds like your mom got you guys on the right track.
Are they on your team? Do they help you out?
No. My sister used to tease me a lot about it, and then she started realizing that I was actually good.
So you're making money.
Yeah.
Look what sister brought. A brand new car.
Exactly. So now she's kind of trying to come to more of my events.
Oh, you're cool.
Man. My friend saw your name on the flyer.
Yeah, you need help carrying the equipment. Yeah.
Oh, no, she won't do that. Oh. My sister will never do that part. My brother helps me load up the car, though.
You meet any famous people?
I have met...
I mean, she's sitting
Chance
with
the
you.
Rapper.
Well, other than me.
Chance the Rapper, Jamila Woods, Kevin Colville, all of Pivot Gang.
How was Chance? Was he cool to you?
Chance was really cool. I met him before he won the Grammys.
Okay.
So he was really, really cool. Who else? I feel like I know so many famous people that I work with, so it's hard to name them off because now I see them as friends, which is weird.
Right?
At you're your my age. Friend. You're famous.
Absolutely. And listen, I am going to give you $150 just for doing this interview.
Wow. Thank you so much.
Dave, remind me to pay her $150 just for doing this interview.
Okay.
I can transport the cash.
Seriously, I want you to do nothing but great with this. I think it's very cool that you're doing it. Could you see yourself doing this for a long time?
Yeah, actually.
Could you have fun with it?
I love it. I originally wanted to be a forensic scientist and then changed my mind very last minute.
That's the general path to DJ. Forensic scientist DJ.
Yeah, exactly. But once I started, I just looked at it as a hobby that I was getting paid for. And then once I started getting booked more, my mom told me, you should get business cards. You should do X, Y, and Z. Even the Cashmobile was her idea. So now I just see it as like I'm going to take this as far as I possibly can.
You know, you got a great logo to begin with, but I didn't know the forensic science part, because how great would it be if there was like a chalk outline of a body, you know, and you didn't explain it, you know, but it was just an homage to her forensic science.
Just throw it in there.
Background. Yeah.
By the way, that thing about the $150.
Yeah.
You already said during the show this morning that you have $210 on you.
Yeah, I really don't.
Are you sure you don't?
I always carry cash, and you know, when Dean's on and he does one of his honey of a deals,
mm-hmm.
I count my cash out live on the air, and I realized this morning I came in, I had $10. So I got to hit the ATM.
Just let me know. I'll be here.
Yeah.
I'll be here.
Who carries your equipment around?
I do.
It's a lot of stuff.
It is.
You need
a roadie.
Myself.
I don't have one.
You don't mind?
No. I don't mind it.
Here's the evolution of the, and Joe, you can help me out with this because you're old now, but the evolution of the DJ. The evolution of the DJ is I would play records.
Mm-hmm.
Actual records.
I learned on records.
Just actual records on these heavy-ass turntables that you'd lug around. And I did my last DJ gig probably, it was a bar mitzvah, and it was probably 1985 maybe. 85,
okay. 86. Okay.
So I was throwing down Wham.
Okay.
You know, a little bit of Wham and some other thing. And then what does it do from there? It goes from there to set up for CDs.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to carry CDs around.
With CDJs, yeah.
Yeah. And then from CDs, when does it actually get over to the point where it's all just you and a laptop?
So from CDs, it went to MP3s.
Oh, that's
CDJs
right.
CDJs could do a flash drive or a hard drive. And then from there is when it went to just the computer. To just having a controller with the laptop.
But to carry around milk crates of albums.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, you talk about heavy.
Yeah, I'm not doing
That's
that.
That's a lot. So,
but people still do that. There's a market for vinyl DJs to where there's events where if you don't spin vinyl, they will not book you.
Yeah. Were you scratching at all? You know how to do that?
I'm learning how to scratch still. I'm known for my blends when I transition. My blending is really nice.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, you know, listen, you make the show cooler, so you can work here anytime.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, again, if people want to book you, what do they do?
DJCashEra.com.
And she's really good. We're not kidding about that. But I'm very impressed at your age you're working that hard. That's cool.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. And high five your mom. She obviously knows what she's doing.
I'll let her know you said that you like what she's doing.
Yeah, very impressed.
What about a live DJ on your show, Steve? I mean, think about that. That's a revolutionary idea in radio.
It is.
A live DJ on a talk show.
Yeah, I will do it.
Yeah, we may have to do that.
Let me know.
We have to do that.
I keep my equipment with me.
She can play the bumps in and out of the segments.
That's right. Cool.
Yeah. Like Fridays.
Easier in the house, man.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, to deal with the egos. DJCashEra.com and DJCashEra on your social media situation. Oh, what song are you most sick of playing?
Right now, Old Town Road.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Billy Ray Cyrus can kiss your butt.
Essentially. No. I mean, kind of. Yeah. Just, I feel like it's too overplayed. I'm tired of it.
No, I get it.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
WGN 926, we continue tomorrow morning. Super Joe, remind me, is it 7:40 that the superintendent, Eddie Johnson, will be on with us tomorrow?
It is indeed.
Lots to talk about with the superintendent, who we like very much here. And certainly one of the things that's to come up are these terrible story. These two women who were part of the mom's group fighting violence on the west side, and they were shot in a drive-by. You know, there's certain areas that are off limits for the gangs. And they were part of that off-limits area. I mean, I don't know an analogy to make that make sense. Like a Red Cross in a war zone. There are certain places that the gangs understand they don't go and they don't commit acts of violence. But I remember a long time ago, a cabbie in town who was an ex-gang member said, and this is when they were starting to put the old guys that were running the gangs in jail and throwing away the key. He said, the most dangerous gang members are not the 30-year-old guys running the gangs, or the 40-year-old guys running the gangs. They're the 15-year-olds trying to make the gangs because they don't know what it's like to take a life. They don't know the significance of it. He said those are the people that are scary because they're trying to impress. And they're from a bad home and a bad situation, and they want to make a name for themselves. You know, next thing you know, you killed somebody. And these are getting moms against gun violence. Moms trying to make a difference. And they were shot. So I can guarantee you the Chicago Police Department wants those shooters very, very badly. You want them all. But some things, some senseless murders like this rise to a higher occasion. It is 9:28. All right, tell you what, let's take one more break here on CLTV and 720
WGN. But not yet, because I had already forgotten Joe's instructions. We got 2 minutes till the news, which allows me also to talk to Dave for a moment about the trade deadline in baseball. So let me awkwardly shift gears and ask you if the Cubs or the White Sox are expected to make any other moves.
I think it's always a possibility. I think the Cubs would like to.
What do they need?
Get it done. Well,
other than wins,
they need. Well, I mean, you could look at the. They've made some moves to fortify the bullpen. I mean, there's only so many arms you can put there. The big investment, their big move was Kimbrel,
but don't they need a bat? Don't they need offense?
They need a bat. That's absolutely what they need.
Yeah. So where would you put them? I mean, you got to buy a particular position, or you know a pinch hitter.
No, I mean, I think you do have this interesting situation where at second base, where Ben Zobrist is coming back. You've been playing Robel Garcia there. Zobrist is attempting to come back.
For those people who missed him, the story there, Zobrist, the marriage blew up, and he had taken most of the spring off to try to focus on his family.
But I just think they need some offense wherever they can find it, which is weird when you look at the offensive firepower that you would think they have, but they just have had trouble producing consistently with men in scoring position.
Who are the biggest disappointments? Schwarber?
I mean, if you look at an average standpoint, but he's hit a lot of home runs. He's drawn a lot of walks.
And well, that's what I'm saying.
I don't think you necessarily look at it as it's one guy. They haven't quite clicked.
If you're going to bring somebody in, you got to have a place to play him.
Well, they're always going to find a spot and move guys in and out of the lineup. I mean,
but you and I talked about the White Sox off the air earlier, because I think we're on different pages on this. You're sensible. I'm not. I'm of the opinion that as deep as the White Sox organization is, and the fact that it could sell some more tickets and get some more fans into that park, let's make some noise. Let's make a little headline. Let's find a way to pick up a veteran somewhere, come in, provide a little leadership to these kids for the rest of the season, and maybe get some more butts in the seats.
Well, it is. But see, I don't think front offices operate that way.
I'm not in a front office?
Well,
I mean, amongst the many reasons. Yes.
But I think they're at a point where their future is what's in the organization, Steve. So I don't think you want to take those kids and throw one in a deal that you're counting on for the future. I mean, you're not at that point right now. And by the same token, the guys who will have value to other teams, like Alex Colome, there are a lot of teams in baseball that would love to have a closer, and he's been really good for the White Sox.
Right.
But if the White Sox, and they control him through next year, and if the White Sox think they're going to be better next year, which I think they will be, and a step closer, you're going to need a guy to fill that role. So you're going to start from scratch again, or are you going to let him go and find another pitcher? You have some nice young arms in your bullpen now who've done a decent job. I don't see them being at that point where, okay, it's the deadline, and you got to trade a veteran, pick up more prospects, because you got a lot of prospects now.
Yeah,
I mean, you can always use more. I get that.
Yeah, but so you don't expect a prospect for a veteran or a veteran for prospect. Super Joe, you're a sports expert, and you also happen to be a diehard White Sox fan. Are they going to do anything today?
It's really tough to say. I think, you know, obviously a lot of it depends on the negotiation with Jose Abreu and his agent. You know, that's a guy who could net something worthwhile, but, you know, he's so important to that clubhouse. It's tough to see them making a move for him. And to add on to what Dave was saying, you know, they made a change organizationally to go young, to get these players to build from the bottom up.
Right.
I think this is the time to continue to see it through. I mean, you start trading some of these prospects for veterans, you're going to put yourself behind the eight ball like they were a couple of seasons ago. You know, they've drafted really well these last couple of years. Vaughn just got promoted to the next level. I think this is
so don't get impatient.
Yeah, do not get impatient. This is not the time to be impatient.
And just to follow up on what Joe said, there is a school of thought that Jose Abreu could go somewhere in kind of a rent-a-player deal, where then the White Sox re-sign him as a free agent, because he has said he doesn't want to leave here. He said, if they don't sign me, I'll sign myself. You know?
Yeah, so, and he said,
I don't see them. I really don't see them trading him.
I hope they don't. I think he's been a stabilizing influence to a bunch of young kids, and I think he really stepped up this year too. And I think Eloy Jimenez shook him up a little bit, made him better.
And by the way, he was a guy who was involved in a deadline deal a couple of years ago from the Cubs. He and Dylan Cease, and so stuff happens on deadline. That was out of the blue, if you remember, 2 years ago when the Quintana deal was made, 2 or 3 years, whatever it was.
Right.
I mean, so stuff does happen on deadline day that nobody's expecting, but so far, it doesn't seem like it's going to be that kind of day. Maybe it will be.
Be interesting if we had those kind of trades that went on in radio.
Yeah. So what are you thinking?
Well, a few years ago when this was the best radio, it's still our best radio city in the country, but there was so much talent on the radio in Chicago. Frankly, there's not anymore. It's all here. But we could make some deals, like deals for prospects.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I've got a couple ideas in mind. I can't talk about them right now because I'm on the phone working phones right now.
Of course.
Yeah. So it's 9:34. Your headlines are next on 720 WGN. And next means now.
Math is easy. Let's say you have 15 Butterfinger BBs.
Mm-hmm.
And I take 5 of them. What do you have left?
One less sister.
New crispity, crunchity Butterfinger BBs.
Nobody better lay a finger on my Butterfinger.
Better.
Butterfinger's better. It's a better Butterfinger. It's a crispier,
crunchier
Butterfinger
bar. They make Butterfinger.
What's Super Joe getting it done, huh?
A
little Butterfinger dance music.
All right, now I'm concerned about bringing Sarah Cattell on here because this is such a personal issue with, you know, people on this staff. Sarah Cattell's head of corporate communications. It's for our candy company, and they make Butterfinger. They bought the folks that make Butterfinger a while ago, and it's now up to them to make Butterfinger. And I believe we're of the opinion that we don't need to mess with Butterfinger. Is that the opinion of the show?
Mm-hmm. My opinion.
Yeah. Steve Krasanich, you a Butterfinger guy?
Listen, I haven't tried the new one, so I really can't
say. So you're open-minded.
I'm open-minded. I love Butterfingers, but I haven't had one in a long time, so if... I may be part of the problem here.
And are you, Steve, are you open-minded in hopes that Sarah, while she's listening on hold during this introduction, is going to send samples over?
Perhaps a case of them. That would
yes.
Be nice.
Yes.
Yes, I'm very hopeful.
Then Dave, are you open-minded?
Opinion. I'm always open-minded.
Super Joe, how do you feel about the Butterfinger controversy?
I'm for it. I'm, you know.
You're like, for the controversy? Or,
yeah, I think getting Butterfinger into the news so that it's a top of mind so people will go out and buy it. Like Steve said, you know, we can talk about stuff being, you know, not broken and we don't need to fix it yet. Well, I mean, when was the last time you went to the store and bought a Butterfinger?
I actually did.
What do you mean? I said when?
About a week ago.
Oh, okay.
Did you get one of the new ones?
I don't know. I mean, it seemed like an old one.
How's Seattle Sutton feel about that?
Well, that's all working out, by the way. I haven't had a chance to talk about Seattle Sutton, but it's a success already. Seattle Sutton doesn't have Butterfingers in the program.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Let me go to Sarah here and make sure I'm pronouncing your name right. Sarah Cattell?
Kittle.
Sarah Kittle, nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you, too.
You understand our nervousness here. We don't want this to be a new Coke situation.
And, you know, we don't believe that it is. I think that we looked to make a great product even better, and we've sweetened the deal for a lot of consumers. And I kind of side with Dave on this one. I mean, we're happy to send you some samples, keep an open mind, give it a try, see what you think.
Yeah, Steve, you want to order up samples? How many do you need here? You need, supply through the end of the year?
2, 4, 6, 10, 15,
cases.
Maybe 20 at least for the newsroom?
Yeah, an 18-wheel truck will back up and we'll unload it. All right, so Ferrara candy, Ferrara pan candy, Ferrara, you guys own everything.
Well, we own quite a bit. We've got a portfolio now. We just closed on the Kellogg acquisition on Monday, so a new one for us we're very excited about. We've got around 35 brands in our portfolio today and growing. We're a $2.5 billion company. We are number one in seasonal confections, number two in sugar confections. We employ 3,000 people in Chicago, added two more facilities. We're really excited to be Chicago's candy company.
All right, let's talk about the big names here. You got your Butterfinger, you got your Crunch Bars,
I mean, Crunch bars are great.
And you know, that's one where our fans said to us, don't mess with it. We really like it.
Yeah.
And we invested a lot in advertising. It hadn't been on air in 10 years. So to the point of people not thinking about purchasing a Crunch or a Baby Ruth or a Butterfinger, we've tried to change that. We've been very successful in doing that in the past 12 months.
And Baby Ruth, Raisinets, Nerd, Sweet Tarts, and the big 20, your top 20, what am I missing there?
We've got Trolley, okay. Black Forest, mm-hmm. Brock's, which is our huge seasonal brand, really leads in seasonal, number one across all seasons. We have, you mentioned Sweet Tarts, Nerds. We've got Now and Later, Laffy Taffy. And then we still have all the iconics and the favorites people love. We have Lemonhead, Fireball, Chuckles, Boston Baked Beans.
You realize you're a grown-up and this is your job, right?
I know, and you know what? It couldn't be a better job. I get to talk to you today about candy.
Yeah, right?
It's pretty fun.
I'm looking at a broadsheet of all of it. The fudge stripe cookies and the Famous Amos cookies. You're not slouching there either.
No, we're not. Just entered the world's largest cookie market. Can you believe the U.S.? I didn't know that, actually, until we had announced the acquisition.
Yeah.
But here we are bringing, you know, Ernie and the rest of the elves into the fold as well.
And you guys make Girl Scout cookies?
Yeah, I was just going to ask the same question. I see pictures of Girl Scout cookie boxes
here. That's right. Yep, Little Brownie Bakers is the maker of Girl Scout cookies. They provide around 70% of the total volume for Girl Scout cookies annually. They're based out of Louisville, Kentucky, and they are now, too, a part of our portfolio.
I believe
excited to have them on board.
I believe Girl Scout tagalongs, the peanut butter chocolate cookies, I believe they could cause world peace. I believe they could solve wars. Yeah, you just drop them into war zones, and I think everything would be fine again. And the highly underrated, Steve, 100 Grand Bar.
Yeah, that's one
that
of my favorites,
right.
too.
It's
very delicious.
That is right. And you know, 100 grand is up 10%. We have major distribution gains in velocities, and it all goes to investing in those brands, putting them back on air, making sure the consumers remember that they're there.
All right.
They're
so
delicious.
So what have you done to Butterfingers?
What have we done to Butterfinger? Well, we improved the recipe, is essentially what we did. We took out some of the stuff that consumers didn't so much love, like TBHQ, which is an additive. So we cleaned up the label. We increased the chocolatey component of the chocolate, so we made it milkier.
Okay.
We increased the peanut quality of the bar. We are using a roasted peanut, which we will also use in the Baby Ruth, which will come out in 2020. We've learned through consumer testing, people love the roasted versus the oiled. And we wrapped it all up into a package that is sealed for freshness. So this is a product that can stay on shelf longer. It keeps the center, that crispity, crunchity, peanut buttery flavor. If you remember the old nostalgic Butterfinger ads we were listening to before.
Yeah.
That's what we did. Brightened up the package, made it more prominent at shelf. And thus far to date, 17% growth in that brand, outpacing the category 10 times and continuing to accelerate.
So the new Butterfingers are out now.
They are out now. We stopped producing the old recipe in November. We started shipping at the end of January, February. So between February 1st and today, we're up 17%.
I got to pay more attention. Sandy's on the phone. Sandy, you love the new Butterfinger?
Oh, my God. It is so much better. I was a huge Butterfinger fan, and I was the same as you guys. Oh, don't mess with the recipe. They made a huge improvement, and I'm glad to see it's out in the market in the Chicago area.
And people, thank you for that, Sandy, and appreciate you listening as well. There is a texter. I locked up that line, Joe, if you can fix that problem on line one. That says, bring back the Marathon Bar. Do you guys own the Marathon Bar?
We do not. Nope, Got to direct that one to somebody else.
Not your company.
Not our company. We do make a lot, 35 brands, but not that one.
And what about Clark Bars? Is that in your portfolio?
Not in our portfolio.
Okay.
No.
I mean, you got a wide.
We do. I think if you threw a dart at a board, you'd hit just about any one of those 35.
Right.
In one texter, Sarah is asking about Brock's chocolate stars. They can't find them anymore. I can't either. Do you guys still make those?
We do make those. So, hey, take their information. We'll get back to them on that one. We'll get back to you on that one, too.
Yeah, the chocolate stars are great.
Oh, they're the best.
Yeah, and Brock's is, like I said, one of our biggest brands. Really leads seasonal, leads our seasonal business.
All right, so you're going to send us over a sampler truck. And
yeah, yes, I'm going to make a call now. Back up a semi.
Yeah, it's 303 East Wacker. Don't send it over to the Tribune Tower. We're not there anymore. And we will review it live on the air, your new product.
All right.
Well, amongst other things. I mean, send anything you want. You know what? Actually, don't send the Boston baked beans. I mean, nobody in their right mind is going to have those.
Those are my favorite.
All right, send some.
Yes.
All right, send a couple.
Please, Sarah.
But really, let's focus on America here with a 100 grand bar and some Butterfingers and those type of things.
We'll send you Crunch. We'll send you just a whole sampling. Nerds, Sweet Tarts, Laffy Taffy, Trolley, Black Forest. You got to try the Black Forest gummies.
Yeah, and you know, I got to be careful. I mean, you know, with my chocolate issue, I could probably be found in a room just rocking back and forth after eating all of it. Anyway, great job, Sarah. Thank you for explaining it, and we no longer have to worry.
You don't have to worry. You don't have to worry.
I appreciate you coming on.
We'll send those samples right over.
All right, there you go.
And you can address it to Joe Romano.
Yeah, well, that would probably be the right move. Thank you, Sarah. Appreciate
Steve,
it.
Steve, I have to say two of my favorite words in the whole world, crispity, crunchity.
It is crispity, crunchity. You know what? I kind of think of you that way.
Yeah, well, thank you. I'll take that as a compliment.
It's a compliment, sure.
By the way, Sandberg hasn't made her way into the studio, has she? Because she would confiscate that box in a heartbeat.
Keep it out of her view.
Yeah. Well, it's got to be Joe, because I can't go near it. I mean, I got to be careful. I'm trying to do the right thing. I'm trying to eat right. But, you know, part of eating right is not depriving yourself
of
everything.
Because if you deprive yourself, then you'll just have a meltdown and eat like 15 candy bars.
Like the Butterfinger you just bought the other day.
Yeah, exactly. Which apparently I didn't know was a new one.
You can't just go untesting new candy bars, man. I mean, you can eat healthy, but when a new candy bar comes out, you got to try it out.
It's my duty. It's my duty as one of America's most influential idiots. Right? I mean, come on.
I feel that way about salads.
Oh,
anytime there's a new salad, I want to try it.
Puts a downer on things.
Really? It's such an upbeat segment until Dave talks. It's 9:57. Bill and Wendy coming up. We don't know much more about the John Dillinger exhumation than we did before, other than the fact that, and Steve Bertrand has a team working on this right now, that Dillinger is part of a reality show. That this exhumation, if it happens, is part of some show where, I don't know, Discovery Channel or something, where they're trying to dig up John Dillinger. So. Is Geraldo involved, Steve? Do we know?
I don't know that Geraldo is involved yet. Mm-hmm. It might succeed, so I think they're waiting to find out.
And Steve, I wanted to congratulate you yesterday on the fine work you did that nobody heard. I understand the half hour of your show that nobody heard was some of the best work you've done here.
Let me tell you something. We did the interview with Amy Guth that did make it. We actually did three times in three different studios because we weren't sure. I'm not kidding you. Try it here. No, try it here.
It's like test auditions.
It was pretty funny. It wasn't funny, but I'm glad we got through it.
Yes, and there is a backup studio today if needed, and we're almost positive we'd be on the air. Because Justin, I'm driving around, I'm listening to Bill and Wendy, and I'm thinking they're in the bonus hour. They clearly don't know they're on the air. They're going to start cursing any minute because you know how they are.
Well, and then they told us just to keep talking because we didn't know when it was going to happen.
That's how we do it in the big time. That's it. Steve's next, Bill and Wendy, too, in just a moment. Stand by. Bill and Wendy are here, and I should congratulate you as well, Wendy, because I told Steve Bertrand the half hour he wasn't on is the best half hour he's ever done.
Me, too, and Bill as well.
So you guys will talk a little bit about this today.
What a crazy misadventure yesterday was.
Right. And as long as I've known Bill, he really doesn't curse much, but I thought just for the laughs yesterday, day, you'd curse it up thinking
sure.
You weren't on the air.
That would have been very funny.
So, what else you did?
You know, you were talking about these two moms that yeah, got
awful.
Shot,
awful.
And we
awful.
Have the founder of MASC, Mothers Against Senseless Killings. Tamar Manassa will be on with us. She's heartbroken. She got this together, and she feels defeated, so we will talk to her.
And you know what? Ask her if there's one thing she'd want to ask Eddie Johnson tomorrow, what would it be?
Good question.
She'll be on at 7:40.
All right. So we can do that.
See you tomorrow.